Dear brothers and sisters, in Daniel chapter 5 of the Old Testament, a truly remarkable event is recorded. Belshazzar, king of the Babylonian Empire, held a great feast. During the banquet, he drank wine from the gold and silver vessels that had been taken from the temple in Jerusalem while praising their idols. At that moment, the fingers of a man's hand suddenly appeared and wrote on the wall of the king's palace. When the king witnessed this extraordinary event, he was terrified and greatly shaken. He promised a great reward to anyone who could interpret the writing, but no one was able to either read it or explain its meaning. During this time, the people remembered Daniel, the one who had received wisdom from God. When Daniel was brought before the king and saw the writing, he was able to read it, saying, "Mene, mene, tekel, apasin," and clearly explained its meaning. It declared that because King Belshazzar had become exceedingly proud before God and had treated him with contempt, his kingdom would be given over to the Medes and the Persians. Pleased with Daniel's interpretation, the king bestowed great honors upon him. He clothed him with purple, placed a necklace of gold around his neck, and proclaimed him the third ruler in the kingdom. But this was when something truly astonishing also took place. If you had been King Belshazzar, what would you have done next? If Belshazzar had truly believed the wise words of Daniel, the important thing was not rewarding him, but dealing with his own problem. Daniel prophesied that he would die, that there would be an end. So when at first the writing was on the wall, the king trembled with fear, and when Daniel interpreted the writing that the kingdom would be given over to the Medes and Persians, that all would die, he just went about his day. He should have first thoroughly repented and turned back to God. Instead, after rewarding Daniel for his interpretation, King Belshazzar acted as though the message had nothing to do with him. Rather than repenting before God, he continued to indulge himself in pleasure and carried on with the feast. Daniel 5 verse 30, that same night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Exactly as God had declared, the enemy invaded that very night and the king was killed. God had graciously given him a supernatural warning beforehand, and Daniel had explained it with remarkable wisdom. But what good did it do? Because he did not apply that wisdom to himself, King Belshazzar received no benefit. He delighted. Even if King Belshazzar had no wisdom himself, and through Daniel's wisdom, he was happy to hear the interpretation. But he stopped there. He didn't use Daniel's wisdom to transform himself. He delighted in hearing wisdom, but yet walked the path of a fool. There are many people similar today. People enjoy listening to wise teachings and read many books and seek the company of wise people. Even in their life of faith, if someone speaks about God's wisdom or the spiritual realm, some people eagerly try to hear as much as they can. But what good is it if they do not apply it to themselves and are not changed? No matter how much a person enjoys hearing the word, merely listening can never make that wisdom their own. Wisdom is not gained simply by understanding with the mind. It's gained by receiving it in the heart, putting it into practice and allowing it to transform a person's life. You must make every effort to be changed first and then use that godly wisdom to influence those around you. When you do, even family and those around you can be brought into God's grace. I pray that your heart and innermost being will be transformed. I pray in the name of our Lord that every blessing God has prepared for you will abundantly come upon your life. The example of King Belshazzar, we can see that he was not wise. He was very foolish, despite receiving wisdom from someone else. And it's not just King Belshazzar who was not wise. We need to look back on ourselves and think whether we are also like King Belshazzar. Through the words preached on this church, we must be able to look back on ourselves and find ways to improve and become more closer to God. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and reasonable. Among these, reasonable means that the fragrance of a good and beautiful heart is revealed through the good fruit of a person's words and deeds. And we looked over a lot of these characteristics over a few weeks. Last week, looked at the characteristics of this reasonableness. And today we'll continue that. Not only obeying the word of God, but doing even more than what is required. Last week, we looked at the example of Daniel and how Daniel was captured in Babylon and what actions he gave up to God for God to be pleased. Daniel didn't give up, didn't fall down, didn't stumble due to the environment or situation. And his situation wasn't easy. His circumstances were not easy, but he overcame that through God's help and was able to receive wisdom from above. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul's life and confession shows that his heart was filled with gentleness and reasonableness. Even before he came to know the Lord, Paul lived in strict observance of the law of the Old Testament. After meeting the Lord, he devoted everything to the gospel and even gave up things he had every right to enjoy. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 13 is Paul's confession. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. These words are part of Paul's answer to the question of whether believers may eat meat that had been offered to idols. At the time, idol worship was widespread in the city of Corinth, and meat that had been offered on pagan altars was often sold in the marketplace. If a believer bought meat at the market and later found out that it had previously been offered to an idol, would that be a problem before God? You wanted to eat meat, so you ended up going to the marketplace and you bought meat, but then realized that it had been offered to idols. And there were quite a few opinions on this in the Church of Corinth. If you know that the meat had been offered to an idol, it's better not to eat it if possible. But it's not practical to ask about the origin of every piece of meat in the marketplace. If circumstances require you to eat it, you may do so in faith without committing sin. This is because you are simply eating it as food. You're not participating in idol worship. Even in today's society, when you buy meat or when you eat meat, you don't ask and you don't check where the origin of the meat. And it's because spiritually, you know that it has nothing to do with idol worshiping. So it doesn't have anything to do with idol worshiping. But of course, if you had known about it, then it's better not to eat it. 1 Timothy 4 verse 4 to 5, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. But from the perspective of those who were weak in faith, eating food that had been offered to on an idol's altar could trouble the conscience. When a mature believer eats food that had been offered to idols, those who observe it may fall into sin themselves. Simply seeing a person eat, people may judge and condemn, thinking that the person is participating in idol worship. Or someone may think, if a man like the Apostle Paul eats food offered to idols, then it must be all right for us as well. If a believer eats while still regarding the food as food offered to an idol, the conscience is violated, which becomes a problem. If a person acts while thinking, I shouldn't be doing this, then condemnation arises. Romans 14, verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. When you do something whilst thinking you shouldn't be doing it, then your conscience can gradually become dull. The next time, you may even commit actual sin without realizing it is wrong. Because Apostle Paul understood this concept, he did not say, since I have faith, I'm free to eat food offered to idols. Instead, if there was even a possibility that someone might stumble because of his actions, he chose not to eat. Apostle Paul said that if necessary, he would not eat meat again, then cause a soul to stumble. Though Paul had the faith and the rightful freedom, he willingly gave up and laid aside many of his rights. Though Paul had the faith, as a result, he gained great boldness before God. Pleased with Paul, God enabled him to perform even greater works of power than the other disciples. God also granted him greater spiritual insight and wisdom. When your heart is filled with gentleness and reasonableness, you'll be able to discern God's will accurately, even when you face the most difficult and complicated situations. In the days of the early church, the gospel had begun to spread, but the scriptures had not yet been fully established as it is today. So Christians had countless questions about how to apply their faith to many situations of everyday life. Besides the issue of food offered to idols, there were questions about marriage and divorce, matters concerning the home and workplace, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the proper observance of the Lord's Supper, and so forth. Apostle Paul was able to give clear and wise answers to each of these questions with God-given wisdom and understanding. His answers are recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians. And through that, we can realize that Paul had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit, and was able to answer all these questions. But also, Apostle Paul lived a life pleasing to God and put in the effort himself too, which is why God was able to give Paul strength, power, and wisdom, so that when people came forth with Paul's handkerchief or part of clothing and prayed on their behalf, there was healing that took place. You can't just say that Apostle Paul was used well by God and just pray that you want to do the same, that you want to be like Paul, that you want to receive power and strength and wisdom from God. Just because you pray doesn't mean God's going to give it to you. You must utilize the sermons. You must utilize the scripture and become wise and show action in faith. Show the same kind of or the similar kind of action and faith like Apostle Paul and be acknowledged and recognized by God. If pastors, the Lord's servants, church workers, if they did the same, then they'll be able to receive similar recognition from God the baseline of it is sanctification. Through mighty works of God's power, the truth of His message was confirmed and countless souls were brought to salvation. Paul was able to bring forth spiritual life and lead the people in the direction that God desired most. We looked at idol worship before, and most of the time we don't really need to worry about idol worshiping now, especially with the food that is offered up to idols. Back in the day, many people, like years and years ago, believed in superstitions. I thought that it'd be nice to preach about the spiritual realm, the evil wickedness of the spirit, the evil spirits. But just in case some of our young children don't realize the wickedness of some superstitions or plays, I thought I'd explain a few points first. Sometimes children at school, and it might not always be children, but there are people that they sometimes take tarot cards and they consider it as something fun. Sometimes they go and get their fortunes told and have a fortune reading just for fun. But even if it's for fun, these are all calling upon evil spirits. So especially our young children, it's really important for you to not take part in any kind of fortune reading, tarot card reading, anything that might be calling on a ghost or an evil spirit. It's something that you must not do, even for fun or as a joke. And sometimes there are sayings where it's part of a game and you say certain words and it's a game of calling upon a ghost or an evil spirit. It's important for you to not do that. And even words like believing in luck or confessing that through, I don't know, perhaps fortune reading, you become lucky, or through fortune reading, you have your fate already sealed, done and dusted. All of these words, these confessions, it's betraying God. You must pray and ask God if there are any difficulties, if there are any issues. It has nothing to do with fortune reading. It has nothing to do with luck. And your future is not set in stone. There's free will. You must rely and ask God. It's important for you to not become immersed in these fun fortune reading and tarot card reading superstitions or games or jokes. And we'll look into this when I do preach about the evil spirits. And these days, there are trends happening where many people, they put like little keyrings on their phones, on their bags. There are some images on clothes and bags. And years ago, I would be extremely surprised how there are images of, say, skulls on accessories and clothing. But yes, it could just be a drawing of someone's skeleton, of a person's skeleton. But when you think about evil spirits or demonic spirits or unclean spirits, a lot of the time they're portrayed as skulls and skeletons. And it's why we don't wear black clothing. It's why we stay away from black and really dark things. Sometimes you'll find snakes, snake images, serpent rings, even some luxurious brands have scarves of dragons, of serpent snakes. It's really important for you to just think more in deep. Don't just has dragons on it, but there are sometimes, there used to be certain types of money where there was a bit of a dragon drawn on it. And you don't have to worry that these will harm your life or that you'll have evil spirits come upon you. It's just like the idol worshipping in the Bible, where meat that had been offered up to idols, if you don't consider it important and you don't think about it, it's just meat for food, then it has nothing to do with idol worshipping. It's the same now, but it is important for you to make sure that you do not pass by these little things. There's no need for you to be fearful. Let's say you go to an event or a place and you've got, say, skulls or skeletons or dragons or some kind of serpent images in that area. Don't be fearful and say, oh, I can't go in there. There's evil spirits there. Don't be fearful of that. You can overcome it through God's help. Of course, it's better if you don't go. But there's no need for you to be worried how these images will affect you evilly in the spiritual realm. As long as you don't go and get your fortunes told or have tarot card readings or have some kind of magic work done. And when you do that, it's important for you to realize that God may not be able to protect you. Dear brothers and sisters, there may be times when you willingly give up things you have every right to enjoy for the sake of sharing the gospel. Even though you strive to live according to the truth of your daily life, once people around you know that you attend church, you make an even greater effort to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of your faith. You are careful not to give anyone reason to say, how can someone who goes to church behave like you? And when you try and evangelize someone, perhaps before you tried evangelizing someone, you kind of acted less carefully. But after realizing that the other person knows that you go to church and you want to evangelize, then you try and become more cautious. When you have every right to point out someone else's mistake, you may simply smile and let it pass. Or when you're trying to evangelize a shop owner, you may choose to buy from that shop, even though the prices can be higher. There are also expressions of gentleness and reasonableness. But when gentleness and reasonableness truly fill your heart, you will choose what is good not only for the sake of evangelism, but always. You don't act with an ulterior motive or because people are watching, but because you desire to please God. You don't calculate, if I do this, I'll gain benefit. Or people will respond favorably. Servants of the Lord and church leaders who must set an example before the church should cultivate even greater gentleness and reasonableness. And as they're called to be examples, there are times when they refrain from doing something they would otherwise do for free, be free to do. And of course, sometimes the gentleness and reasonableness, it disappears between extremely close friends or family. To other people, they're gentle and reasonable, and they're reasonable, but to close friends and family, they're not. And it's important for you to look back that even though you pray to God by wanting to be like Daniel, an Apostle Paul, but when you go home, you are rude, or you're not as gentle and reasonable, or to your close friends, you are negative, you ignore, you put people down, then that's not being gentle and reasonable. When I was preparing, but when you just try and pray, you think of perhaps the TV series that you just watched, or the things that you just did, or the delicious food that you just ate from an outing. Of course, it's great if you could enjoy everything in the world and also be fervent for the Lord, but it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always work like that. When you do not live a life focused on God, focused on the Lord, then it's not easy for you to enter a good heavenly dwelling place. The enemy, devil, and Satan tries to make you stumble. So there are sacrifices. You need to look back on yourself and think and ask yourself, how much are you giving to God? Why are you not praying fervently? Why can you not pray as well as before? How are you filling up your days? And especially our church leaders, our church workers, you must have gentleness and reasonableness. They're examples. You are a role model. So there are times when these role models refrain from doing something they would otherwise be free to do. At other times, they willingly do things that are not required of them simply for the glory of God. This does not refer to pretending to be holy outwardly while inwardly failing to cast off the flesh. Even when something is not sinful and you're free to enjoy it in faith, there are times when you willingly exercise self-restraint for the sake of others. Even Apostle Paul, who performed such great works of God's power, made this confession: "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified." Paul spoke with enough confidence to say to Christians, "Be imitators of me." Yet behind that confidence was a life of rigorous self-discipline and continual self-denial. May you also enjoy the freedom received in the truth while always examining yourselves. Even if you say you're acting by faith and according to the truth, it's truly a blessing if you are willing to examine yourself again. Perhaps if you rebuke someone and the person who was rebuked ended up stumbling or getting sad, then perhaps look back on yourself. Did you rebuke with love 100%, or did you really have to rebuke, or did you rebuke with a bit of, say, hatred or uncomfortable feelings? But if you don't look back on yourself and use the truth to look back on yourself, then you become stubborn and all you think is the other person's fault, and you just pass by. These people cannot become imitators of God. These people cannot grow. You must be able to imitate God. You must be able to resemble God. It's why we are Christians. It's why we live a Christian life. And perhaps there are actions where you may not necessarily be wrong, but is there a better way to go about it? Is there a better way to say certain words? As you continue to humble yourself before God, carefully examine your heart and choose what is more pleasing to Him, then you'll become more perfect. Some may think that choosing not to exercise rights for the sake of others and the glory of God is too restrictive. Each person should live according to the measure of their faith. And God does not demand that every believer become perfect all at once. But if you're willing to place voluntary restraints upon yourself in order to choose what is more pleasing to God, this is true wisdom. As your heart becomes free from selfish motives, you'll gain the wisdom and understanding to discern all things clearly. When God finds joy in His children, He does not simply rejoice and leave it at that. God surely repays with overflowing blessings both on earth and in heaven. Father God delights in your heart and rewards you with even greater blessings. As the Lord said in Matthew 19, verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Just as promised, God fills your life with things far better than those you've given up for His sake. God grants you much comfort and happiness, even in this life, but especially in heaven, as better things that bring everlasting comfort and joy will be given. Everything you could have enjoyed in this world, but willingly laid aside for the Lord's sake, is remembered by God. When you see the heavenly home and rewards prepared for you, you'll be moved to tears as you confess your gratitude and love to God, who remembered even the smallest desires of your heart. I pray that you will have eyes that long for the eternal and true treasures of heaven instead of temporary pleasures. May you become wise believers who pursue the true blessings that endure forever.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat, go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.